So hello everybody, and thank you so much. You all know us and you're praying for us and you're supporting us. So we would like you to know more about what is going on over there. And as you can see, that Christian population in India is still 2.30. Of course, this is as per the 2011 census. So after that, the census has not been taken, so I expect that it would be a little more than that, and dominated by mostly Hindus. They are like 79.80%. And you know, when COVID started, it was very disappointing for us because we needed to keep closing, and we could closing the churches. And we couldn't move around as we could have done, you know. But as you can see from the reports that we have collected, we have a total of 61 churches. But from 2020, that is just after the COVID, we were here in 2019. And till July 2022, we started 25 new churches. So praise God for that. You know, even the COVID did not bring an obstacle. Rather, many new people are coming to our churches. They are just seeking God. They are afraid, and they are coming. And you can see the rest of it. Like the new villages reached is 909. And like in India, villages are like a small place. It could be like 200 families, maybe 100 families or 250 families there, and they normally live in not like houses like this, like small huts, and they live there and they have their own rules and regulations. So we have reached out to 909, and we have the Bible correspondence, the Source of Light. As you can see, we have reached down to like 21,699. This is just these 2-3 years. And the people who accepted Jesus as their Savior is 425 during this period, during the COVID period. So we praise Lord, praise the Lord for that. So we are like focused in the northern India. So if you go to the southern India, you find lot of Christians there, lot of churches there. But when you come to the northern India, you won't find many churches, not many people are Christians. And there are many provinces in the northern part, which are very hard to reach, you know. They are all like believe in so many gods, goddesses, and like I shared you, I think last time, if you remember, they can worship even plants. Just in front of my building, I always see a lady worshipping a plant, and sometimes I don't understand, because if they stop pouring water, their gods will die. And so they worship anything. They worship lots of, you know, idols, statues, and everything. And they believe in witchcraft. So if they fall sick and they don't get well, then they go what you call as, we call it as a tantric. Yani, that is the person, yeah, the witch doctor. You know, they go there and they do nothing, you know, but except take a broom, and then they do something like this, and all kind of things they do, and they don't actually get any relief. So we are doing ministry in New Delhi, that's the place where we stay, and then in Himachal Pradesh, that is up in the mountains, and we are doing in Punjab, and we are also doing, we have just recently started in Rajasthan, and also in the country of Nepal. So you can find, you can see all the pictures there. This is our group in the youth team, as well as the music, those who are leading the music in our church. So that's the team over there. And you can see this is our church in New Delhi. This is where he's pastoring the church over there. And this is how we worship there. Okay. And you can see different pictures of baptism, and he is just teaching those who are going to take baptism. So few of the pictures there. You can see we have the ladies meeting there. This is the youth meeting. And in this corner, you see, we have like this small fellowship groups, the one which you see here. So they live in small rooms, you know. And this is one room where people stay. That is where they cook their food. That is where they sleep. And, you know, that's how it is. So we go there, we pray for them, we share the word of God, and it's a way of like discipleship also. Because every one of them, all our church members except very few, are from non-Christian background. So they are just coming out from what they have been learning in Hinduism, and we have to train them from the beginning. This is Mukesh, and he just, now let me tell something about him. He is working in a company, and his cab would come. Suppose you just think that this is the road and our church is here, and the cab would leave him there. And he would come from here, but whenever he would pass this road, he would feel very guilty and in lot of bondage, and he would feel very awkward while he would come through this road. He is Hindu, from a Hindu background, and he would always feel like someone telling, don't take this road. So every time he would pass, what he would do, he would not come straight here, and he would go like this, and then he will go to his house. So this is where our church is. So one day he happened to see a scripture where it is written that, come to me all who are weary and burdened. So when he read that, you know, he knew that there's a church over here, and he decided that he will come, and he came and met him, and he asked him whether I can come to your church. So he had lot of like bracelet, charms and everything on his hands and everything, and he would come. And in our place, nowadays it's not so easy to share the gospel, and we don't know who comes to the church. So so we have to be very careful. We don't suddenly, you know, we just first know the person very well. So they are welcome to come, but we won't tell them, please come again next Sunday. We won't tell that. So we have to be very, very careful there. So he started coming regularly to the church, and he started hearing the word of God, and slowly, slowly all his charms, the bracelets, all have come out, and he has started praying to Jesus. And one day he prayed that my parents, who is in another province, they should also go to church. I did ask him, did you ever tell your parents, go to church? He said, no, I never told them to go to church. I only prayed. And one day his mother calls him and he says that we are going to go to church tomorrow. So we praise God. That's how God works. He was a complete stranger to us. And that's how the Lord worked in his life. So you can see here, they are the Sikh people, S-I-K-H. Punjabi people, and we have a ministry over there. They use our Bible lessons. So you can see few of the pictures there. You can see that over there. This is the recent, we have started the ministry in the state of Rajasthan. And this is what we wanted to do this year. This was one of our goals over here. And that's a family about whom I would like to share their testimony. This is quite far from our place, but we do go there, and we, we go by the same car for which, you know, Pastor Rick and the church here has sponsored for us. We wanted a big vehicle so that we can take a team with us wherever we go. We are so thankful and grateful to you for providing the need of a vehicle. And ever since we have got the, it's a miracle that because the when we book the vehicle, it takes like around a year or something to get, or 6 months, I'm not very sure, year or something. And we just got it, we just booked it, and within 1 week we got the vehicle.
Mm.
And after that we have used this vehicle several times, you know, to take our teams. It could be our ladies team, it could be our youth team. And we have gone, and like our mission trips also we have gone. So we have been utilizing the vehicle. So as you can see, that is Sunita, and Monica is the younger one, and then Jyoti. Now I would like to share about Monica. I'd like to share about Sunita, the mother of the two children. They have a son also. Now she was having some kind of problem in her stomach. She was having a very big boy, like a tumor in her stomach. And they spent lots of money for her in going to hospitals, but she would never get well. So it so happened that she started watching YouTube, and she started watching messages there, and Christian messages. And she committed her life to the Lord after watching these messages. And then she shared it with her husband, and her husband also committed his life to the Lord. And then they started searching a church where they can attend. So somebody directed them to us, and they came. And they were very new for us. They came for 2 Sundays, and then the 3rd Sunday they didn't come. So when he called her husband and asked him, so he said he's sick. And we don't know what happened. He became so sick that he had to be admitted in the hospital. And now please understand that this family is very new in the Lord. We don't know them, and we don't know how much they know about the Lord. And they were very new, but they had faith in Jesus. But their family are very staunch Hindus, you know. And they were not happy that Sunita and her husband have accepted Jesus. They have said that you have become Christians. And when her husband was in the hospital, so all the family members, they told her that it is because you became a Christian, that is why your husband is sick. And unfortunately, he died. We know where he is. He is in heaven. We know that. But he died. And she had to face a lot of persecution. They took his body to their village. And when they went to the village, they normally burn the body. So they said that it is because of her, you know, this man has died, so let's burn her also. It was such a terrible, terrible situation there, and the Lord protected them. You know, Jyoti at that time was not a believer, but she became very strong, and she, you know, protected her mother. You know, girls are very much, you know, they don't have a good, girls are like very like this. You know, if you have a boy, it's good. When Jyoti was born, you know, all the relatives, they cried because it's a girl. So they don't have any, you know, importance over there. So, and then, you know, after, you know, we were not able to contact them. Because we don't know them, we don't know where they live. So it was that kind of situation. And then, you know, after like around 8 months, she came with her daughter Jyoti.
Mm.
It so happened in between, Jyoti started getting visions of cross. She would see dreams of a cross, and she would see dreams of a father, you know, in white color clothes. And she could see that he is very happy. That is what. And that made her come to the church back with her mother. And now they are very strong Christians. Monica is the younger one. She too committed her life to the Lord. And all her family members are, you know, they still keep, you know, oppressing them and, you know, persecuting them that you have become Christians. They are not going back to their village, and they are very happy in the Lord now. They have a son for whom they are praying. He doesn't mind them going to church, but then, but he has not accepted Jesus. Now this is Hari. He is like a marble cutter, and he put tiles. And the building where we stay, we have a church, we have the office, everything. So Hari is the one who put all the tiles in our building.
Mm.
Now he and now his family, they live in the village, you know, of Rajasthan. And like I said, there are a lot of spiritism in many places, and they had a lot of issues. The whole family were like demonically oppressed. One by one, you know, first his father died, then his mother died, then his sister died. It was like that. He lost, I think, 7 to 8 members of his family. And that drove him, you know, to Jesus. And he and his family now are Christians. They are strong believers. You know, he still keeps telling us that, how could I ever worship so many idols and they did nothing for me? And he's, whenever he talks about his relationship with Jesus, he's so, you know, embarrassed. He's thinking, how could I ever do that? You know, that's what he is. And that is his brother Nandu. He also accepted Jesus as his savior. And but his wife Nandu, Nandu's wife is, her name is Choti. And she is having some demonic issues. And we are praying for her. She used to come to church. We used to talk to her, counsel her, but she's still not well, and we need to pray for her. Then we have the ministry in Himachal Pradesh, that is up in the mountains. It's very cold over there. It snows over there. And when we have to go, we have to take the mountainous area, and we have in different places in Himachal Pradesh. So you can see that. This is Papu. And his wife, this is a very recent testimony, I would say, just in the month of August. And now Papu, and like I said, Himachal Pradesh is also a land of gods and goddesses and lots of demonic activity there. So Papu, under the influence of, you know, all those demonic activities in his life, he killed his grandparents. His grandfather and grandmother. Normally when they are like that, they don't know what they are doing. He was put in jail. So when he was put in jail, there they get to read all kind of books where he got to read the Bible. And he started reading the Bible there, and in the jail, he accepted Jesus as his savior. After reading the scriptures, he was miraculously, even though he murdered, he was set free from the jail. And he came out, but by the time his wife had lot of problems, lot of demonic possession, and she was sick, and she would do all kinds of things and run out of the house and all these kind of things. But because he has accepted Jesus, he started searching for a church. I want to take her to the church so that they can pray. And he came to our church in Roru in Himachal Pradesh, and it was very difficult. The evil spirit in her would not go out. So it was several Sundays, they would come to the Sunday, and they would, the church would pray, our evangelist and pastor, he would pray for her, and finally, you know, they were delivered. Now, the evil spirit in her would say that, if you want me to go, you pray, she would tell. You pray as much as you want, but I'm not going to leave her. That is what she would say. And she said, okay, if you want me to leave her, then in their house, there is something dug underneath the house. If you remove that, then I will go. So, you know, they were not able to live in their house. So they went near the jungle, they made a small hut, and they would live there. But then lot of snakes and all kind of insects there, so they found it very difficult. So Pappu would come to our evangelist and say, please go and remove that thing from our house, because unless that thing is not removed, my wife will not get well. So one day our brother, he said, just have faith in God. I'm not going to come to your house to remove whatever is dug underneath your house. I'm going to pray right now in faith that that particular thing will not do you any harm. And you also go in faith, go and stay in your own house. And they went and stayed in their house and nothing happened to them. And now they have two small children and they are coming to the church regularly. I don't know how many of you would understand, because I don't know what whether it's all going on over here or no, or whether you have heard about it. But these things are a lot in the state of Himachal Pradesh. You see a lot of things. And then these are the different like fellowship groups, baptism. As you can see, these are the ones who have taken baptism. We can't show many pictures, but there have been many, many, many people from non-Christian background. They have taken, they have surrendered their lives to the Lord and they have accepted Jesus. You can see this is the men's fellowship that they have in one particular place in Himachal. The women's meeting that we have, these are the like fellowship groups that we have. Sometimes the room is small and people are more. And we have attended house fellowships in Himachal Pradesh where probably we have to sit down and we probably have to fold our legs, and you know, it's that bad. And they sit everywhere, they sit in the window seats, they sit like if there's a window there, they will stand outside. Sometimes it's so many people, and we have taken fellowship groups. We discipleship them is very important for us, because they all come from a Hindu background. So these are some of the fellowship groups that you can see as they come to pray. You can see that he's this brother, he is in one more part of Himachal Pradesh, and like he's Nepali. Like in Himachal Pradesh, if you have to construct a house or something, a truck cannot go up. You know, you can't take the raw materials there. So mostly the Nepalis, they come here and they do labor work. They carry the bricks and all on their back, and then, or sometimes they use donkeys to take the things all the way up in the mountain. So there are many Nepalis, you know, coming from Nepal and doing labor work here. So this pastor also is ministering in Himachal Pradesh, and he is Nepali. But when he goes to new, he almost every day like goes to new villages. But he is not allowed to go to villages, to houses, to people who are from Himachal Pradesh. Like he can visit, he can go to villages, but he can only visit Nepali people only. If they come to know that he is visiting the local people there, then they will, you know, they will beat him up or something like that. So on the pretext of, you know, that they are my people, they are Nepali people, I'm going to meet them, so he is allowed to go to these villages. And he takes some of the believers with him, you know. There could be a relative of that believer. So that way he goes. And then he shares the gospel. First he shares the gospel. All are new people. He shares the gospel. Then he tells them to, you know, after sharing, he said, I'm not forcing you, but if you can, if you want, you can surrender your life, you know, that way. And then he gives our Nepali Source of Light Bible lessons to them. That also he says, I'm not forcing you, but if you are interested, you can take it. So few they don't take, and many of them they take these lessons and they read and they do it. So many people that way are also committing their life to the Lord. Now this is another place in Lahol where you see these people. Lahol, see, previously there was no way we could go to Lahol, this place. It's no greenery there. as you can see at the back, the mountain, no greenery. And but I think one or two years back, they made a bridge.
Tunnel.
Nine kilometer tunnel.
Okay. Wow.
So recently we were able to also go there, and he has gone before, and I also went another time. So otherwise there was no communication. We couldn't go over there. So we have ministry in that place also, and as you can see, the many people there are also, we have believers over there, and this is the ministry in Nepal. Nepal also not much like Christians, as you can see, just 1.4 Christians, that's all. And here we are giving the leadership training. I'm going ahead. This is just the prayer before baptism. In Nepal, we normally do baptism in the rivers, you know, nearby. But in Himachal now, it's not possible. There was a time we used to do that in the rivers, but now in Himachal Pradesh, we can no longer do it out in the open. Nepal is also slowly, there's a lot of, you know, we have to be careful when we do out it in the open. So now there also a lot of persecution, plus lot of false teaching in Nepal. Lot of cult groups are coming there. So this is the one team we had taken to Nepal during that time. And as you can see, this is the ministry of Nepal. This brother whom you see, he goes in the motorcycle here to different villages, and he gives the Bible lessons there to the pastor of, you know, different places wherever they have churches. So this is the baptism in Nepal. As you can see, this is Arjun Shesta, Sister Sheila. He is Arjun Shesta with the sitting in the that side, for whom you are praying. And that is where we had floods in Melanchi. This is a village. This is a village right in the middle of a jungle. Right in the middle of a jungle over here. And this is in the city of Nepal. We are having ministry over there. So you can see that. This is Horamaya again. Her husband was a mediator between people and idols. So her husband would, she said that they would do lot of, you know, like giving them herbs and telling that you will be healed. They knew that they won't be healed. But one day her husband only fell sick. And when her husband fell sick, he was not getting healed. And they were into all kind of witchcraft things. And her husband was a mediator. So they were never in peace, they were never happy. And when her husband fell sick, they said, whom should we turn to? Because they knew they were doing all kind of fake things, you know, just cheating the people. That is how somebody, one of our believer told her to go to church, and she came to the church and her husband was healed. See, many of the diseases which are caused by like demons, you know, once they surrender their life to the Lord, they are perfectly well. They are healed. So now they are believers, she and her husband, and they have surrendered their life. That is in Nepal. And even Mayakso Jo Tamad, the man that you see, the young man, you know, when he was 8 years old, he ran away. And he ran away, and a Lamba, you know, the Buddhist, you know, those who take care of temples and all, he went to him. And for 10 years he worked for him, for that man. And he would go and clean the temples of Buddhists, of the Buddha. And but he was like tortured there by that same man. And he would really trouble him. So after 10 years, like he was 18 years old, he ran away from there. And when he ran away, he became like a trekker, you know, those who are trekking. So he would carry the bags for them. He got that job. So in one of the trekking, one of our believer, he shared the gospel to him. And now he has surrendered his life to the Lord. He is married now and he comes to our church. So this is the relief work that we did. And we did it during the COVID period, because at that time it was very difficult to get food and those who are in the hospitals. So we would normally go to hospitals. Yeah. And roadside also. And now after doing this, you know, we see so many poor people, so many needy people are there. The COVID is almost gone. I mean, it's going on and off, on and off. But now we have decided that we would like to do that more and more, because there are many street people, homeless people. They live under the bridges. You know, we have a flyover, then they will sleep under the flyovers. So there are many people, and we would like to do that more and more. So this was during the COVID time, and we this is in Melamchi, where Arjun Shesta, he is the pastor there, and he built tin houses. He helped them by building tin houses and also giving away bags and many other things. So we have the Train Up the Child program. They are very poor children, and we give them secular education, we give them stationery, we give them school bags, and many of these children, like during the school time, we cannot give the gospel or give them any material, Christian material, or we cannot teach them anything. But in the Sunday school, we have a Sunday school for the children in church. When the church is going on, they have the Sunday school for the children. So at that time, they are welcome to come. So we have around right now, we were having like 100 before the COVID, but right now we have taken in only 70, and we would like to take more as soon as this COVID thing goes off slowly. And at least 40 to 50 children are coming to Sunday school on Sundays. So praise the Lord, because here we can share the gospel to them. So you can see all the different, we did also a VBS with them, though we don't call it as a VBS, we call it as a fun time. This is my daughter, and she very recently started the English reading class, where, because many of these children, they only know to speak Hindi, and only while, as they read, you know, English literature, they will slowly be able to pick up the English words, and then they will be able to speak in English. So that is one of our burden, that our children, this is just recent, so we are going to start it, that by the time they finish off, we are doing it till the 8th grade, and by the time they finish the 8th grade, we would like to see them speak in English. And then we have the adult education for women. And we teach them, some of them are learning Hindi and some of them are learning English. So this also is a very recent one that we have started, as you can see. And Pastor Rick has said that we can share our needs with you. And we are still very, very, very thankful to you that as a church you are supporting us. You know, you have given us generous donations, and which has been very, very helpful for us. And these are the few needs for which we are praying. And even as we are we are there in the US and we are visiting different churches, we are going to share our needs, and you can pray that we can get the support that we need. One of the things that we want to do is to appoint more evangelists. Because, see, we can't go to many places. You know, we can't climb mountains so high or so interiorly in the forest, and we can't go there. But the local people can do it. And we want to appoint more people in Himachal. See, Himachal is a big place. Now, we have many evangelists there. But still, interior. Some of the fields, we both have not been able to go there. Because it's very tough to go there. And if you go like through the jungle that they go, then there are wild dogs there. So we can't go. But the local people can go. And the need is that we want to appoint more people so that they can reach out to their people. You know, there are so many villages, interior villages, where people, they have not even heard about Jesus. So we want to support, but it is like a monthly, we want to, and I also want to share that when we support our evangelists, you know, they have to raise their own funds from the church, from their own church. Like they start a, you know, in the beginning we help them out, and then slowly, gradually, as they plant a church, they have to, you know, teach their people to give. So this is just like 50% of what we are giving them. And the rest 50, they have to raise from their own churches that they have planted. So we, our need is like 120 to 150 per month for one evangelist. And we have another need, like TUTC, it's like $15 a month, which would include the stationery, the food, as well as, because we give them food, we give them stationery, as well as it covers the teacher's salary. And we just want to say that we praise God. We were there in Madison in Source of Light office, and a couple has donated the $600 which we need for five sewing machines. So we praise God for that. And one of our goal for this year was that we are going to start the tailoring classes. Now I already have students. Many ladies, when they come for admission for school, they already come and they ask, when are you going to start the tailoring? I must have told one or two ladies probably that we want to start the tailoring class, and now the place where we live, everybody knows that we are going to start a tailoring class. So we came here now, but we are so thankful, and hopefully that was our goal for this year. We want to start, I think after we return back in November, I think we will start it, or maybe the beginning of January. We will start it because we have got the money. But for the teacher's salary, like we need around 120 per month. And like I said, we want to distribute to poor people who are homeless, who don't have anything, no house, nothing. Even in the book of James, it is written that way, that we need to help the poor. So our burden is that. And this would be like twice in a month. And also, please remember, everything is hard work for us, you know. Because here we hear about churches giving, but then they get from the Walmart, then they get from Chick-fil-A. It's not like that. We have to cook our own food. We will cook some rice and curry. So it takes up the whole day to prepare. And then we go out and then we distribute. So this is also one of our need. We have a church in Madhavni, and now it's a very small place, just a small place like this, that's all. And it is, they are having a church in the bedroom, in bedroom come drawing room, you can say. They have just one room, so they have a church there. So the whole room is covered with the double bed, and everybody hops onto that bed, and then the window sill, and then there is a sofa here, so everybody sits there. Half of the people will sit down, and you know, they are having a church there. So recently when we visited there, we felt that now is the time that I think they need a place where they can have the service, so that everybody can sit together and they can worship the Lord. And when I talk, and now they have already started it on their own, you know, asking the believers for donations and doing the labor work themselves. And they have already, you know, doing the foundation and the first floor. You know, that is their responsibility, the pastor, our evangelist, and the believers. They are doing it, and the construction work is going on. But on top of that, you know, we want to, you know, make a room on top of that, which is less expensive because the foundation always takes a lot of money. So we are just going to build for them a room at the top, and it's expensive because there everything has to be taken by, you know, the laborers, and go up. So that is why that cost goes very high. So we need a place there. Please pray about it, that the Lord would burden someone to, you know, give for this need. And we also have a place in Punjab where they have it in the pastor's house. It's a small room, so they sit inside the room, they sit outside the room, they sit outside the veranda, and then they have the church in Punjab. So we do feel the need that we must make a room for them, and these are some of our needs. I just want to close, you know, sometimes I make the updates and I send the newsletters. I think it comes here also. Mm-hmm. And so much of testimonies are there. I don't know sometimes which testimony I should write and send it to you. And we want to send more, but I know I can't send more than 2 pages because, you know, nobody will read that much, you know. And I want to make it as small as possible, but, you know, it's very easy to share and say, show you a movie maker, show you a PowerPoint, but it is all hard work. Like for us, it's not that he's only a pastor. It's not like that. He can be a cook, he can be a pastor, he can go to the hospital, and he's there out there, you know, giving out food to the poor. So, you know, we don't have a Saturday or Sundays or any, it's like that. It's hard work and everywhere. It's with our team. It's our teamwork of all of us that, you know, we have 61 churches and prayers and grace of God that He opens doors for us, and we are able to plant churches, and we want to do that more and more. But it's a lot of hard work, you know, and it is counseling, like, you know, one person at a time, you know, after the church service, we are just busy, you know, meeting people, praying for them, you know, talking individually. They have so many problems, they have so many doubts. So, it's, you know, it can be mentally exhausting for us, but God is good and He helps us. And we are also thankful to you, all of you, you know, because you send us the support, you know, our hard work, God's grace, and then, you know, the people are reached with the gospel. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much for all your... Thank you. We have a booklet in the back, so you can just have it and remember us in your prayer. As Anita said, evangelist, support them like 50% or 40%. So now everything is gone up. So, but same time we teach them, so they should also teach their people, they should also give to the church. So, but you can see the photo, so many people, they're poor and they don't have so much, whatever they have, they give. But we just wanted to help our evangelist, our pastor, maybe 40%, 50% to them, so that they have also children, they have family, and so that Lord may. So all these things we have done. So far we have 29 evangelists, they are working, and we could able to help them, support them. So I'm really grateful to God for this, even COVID time also, we were going through a lot of problems. I remember one day I thought during COVID time most of the church were closed, and all of our evangelists, they didn't have, you know, sufficient support, you know, except what we used to give. So I thought, why don't I give something to them, you know, relief. So that was my mind. I was praying, and I say I got one good check, you know, from my father-in-law. He sent one check to me. And he said, I'm giving to ministry. I said, wow, that is a great. So we give them some relief to some amount, because what they get from the church, they were not getting because the church was closed. So we really want to expand the ministry, and more and more, you know, you don't believe that so much need is there. And we, as Anita said, we are not able to go and tell people outside, but in a church we just pray. And every Sunday we see some new people, they start searching church, and they are really problem seeking, you know, they have a lot of problem. And they come to know somehow that there is a church and people pray. And they come and they come and then we share the gospel and they became, you know, follower of Christ. So that is why, you know, if you ever come to India, you can see, you know, how people, you know, lot of so many Hindu people they became. Although the government is giving a lot of problem, you know, we get so much problem, but you know, it is the Holy Spirit work. Amen. Lord work in their heart and change. As I share my testimony, I was never believed, but Lord changed me and Lord changed them also. And your prayer will be changed them. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.